take your Bible and turn to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, if you need to go to the index of your Bible to figure out exactly where that's located, why don't you do so? The book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter number 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. And once you found it, why don't you stand with me? I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. And we're going to find an outline here in this chapter. Zephaniah chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gilaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, the son of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowl of the heaven, and the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks which the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chimerims, which with the priest, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Melchan, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such that are clothed with strange apparel. And in the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's house with violence and deceit." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us tonight to be challenged and warned according to the Scripture, please. Holy Spirit of God, help us to do right with our lives and in our society. And that doing of right, may it be based on the Word of God, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I will make a bit of an explanation and we'll get into the base of the sermon pretty quickly. Zephaniah chapter 1, and when you look at the very beginning of Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto Zephaniah." Now, what happened was there had been a revival in the land prior to Zephaniah writing this, but it was very obvious that God had come to Zephaniah and said, this revival, there was going to be actually some judgment that would follow thereafter. And I think God told Zephaniah, "Now you tell the people that the revival and all the positive things that they've experienced, they ought not get to thinking that they can just do anything they want. I'm still a God of judgment." So what could happen is, you take a country like America, you have so much prosperity so long, if you're not careful though, you get to thinking that, well, we can do anything we want and the favor of God is upon us, so we can do anything we want, any way we want, and God's just going to favor us. But America has learned differently, and she will learn differently. If you don't do what God said, God's hand of favor can be withheld. I want to tell you this story. When our kids were little, they went to when they were young, well, all their lives they went to a Christian school, and they did science fair projects, and it was a pretty big deal. And they did some pretty wild science fair projects. But I got for one of my kids a piranha for their science fair project. It's hilarious, had you been with me when I went to buy it. You can buy a piranha about the size of a quarter, and you get away with that. But if they get much bigger than that, they don't allow them to be sold. Well, we looked everywhere for a piranha. We were up near Chicago. We looked everywhere for a piranha, but he didn't want one the size of a quarter. He wanted a bigger one. So we were at this particular pet store, and I asked him, I said, "Do you have any piranhas?" They said, "Well, we have those, but that's it." I said, "You don't have anything bigger than that?" I said, "That's so small." And they said, "No, we don't have anything bigger than that." So my son was disappointed, and we were leaving, and we were walking out of the pet store. We went out front, and this guy stepped out of the pet store, and he said, "Hey, buddy." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You looking for a piranha?" I said, I am, I am. He said, you want a big one? I said, I do. He said, come over here. So he came over and, you know, it's like he got a trench coat on and he opens it up and he's got watches and piranhas, you know. He said, I got a piranha. You know, you can't buy him any bigger than that, than what's in that store, except for I have one. He said, you got money? I said, I've got money. And then I'm beginning to think I'm going to get mugged in an effort to get this piranha. So we go to this guy's house. He drove his car, me and my son. We drive our car. We go to his house, and he's got this great big aquarium. And in the aquarium, he's got, I mean, some good-sized piranha. Now, so you understand, a piranha that's 6 inches long is a very big, solid piranha. So he said, I'll sell you that one right there. And my son is going, oh, great, this is going to be fantastic. And so we struck up a deal, and I got him his money. And, oh, it's hilarious. He was going to put it in, he's going to put it in a container for us to take it home. So he took his net, and he stuck that net down into the tank and pulled it up. And when he pulled it up, he got it just outside the aquarium, and that piranha went nuts, and it just diced that net to shreds. I mean, just tore it open, and the piranha fell on the floor, and I, with all the courage I had, ran as fast as I could to the side. And this guy finally got us our piranha. We took it home, and my son was so excited. Kids would come over after school for piranha feeding time. And, you know, he'd throw certain kinds of fish and other things. I don't want to gross you all out, but he'd throw other things in there. And you would not believe watching that piranha just consume or devour what was before it. And, to make a long story short, one day one of the boys brought home a frog, and we had no idea that the frog was a poisonous frog, and the old piranha went after that frog, devoured it, and the next thing you know, the piranha was floating belly up. He got poisoned, but he died, and we had a piranha funeral, and you know all that you do. But watching that piranha devour its prey was really something. Now, it's an odd thing, but I want you to know that the word consume, it actually means here in Zephaniah to devour, just like the devouring of that meal by the piranha. And the odd thing about it is what had happened is the God's people had had a revival. And I wonder if in their minds God could sense that they were assuming it would continue and that they could behave any way they wanted and God's favor was on them. And God comes to Zephaniah and he says to Zephaniah, you warn the people, there are some things that I will judge. And folks, I love preaching about God's mercy and God's grace and God's patience and God's long-suffering, but let's never lose track of the fact that God is also a God of judgment. And the judgment of God has not been done away with just because we love John 3:16 and we love to hear about the love of God and we love to hear about the patience of God. God is still a God of judgment. And the Bible teaches us then, God leads Zephaniah to begin to write to God's people, and he warns them about some things. And actually, as you heard there at the beginning verses, he kept saying, I will consume, I will consume, I will consume, I will consume. Actually, God was saying, I will devour. If you do wrong, I have the ability to devour. I'll devour you. You say, what does that mean? Well, God can eat up the blessing in your life, if you will. He can eat up their areas of patience and long-suffering. But, you know, God doesn't have to be patient with you forever. And God doesn't have to be long-suffering with you forever. And so there's a warning, and he uses the term devour. He uses the word consume, which is equivalent to our word devour. Now, let's just remember this. God still punishes sin today. And if we're not careful and all we ever talk about is the love of God, the love of God, the love of God, we'll be out of balance. Also, we'll not be being honest with ourselves. So God over and over again in the first chapter of Zephaniah, he uses the word consume. He uses the word punish. We're going to look at a few of those tonight, and I want to show you some things that I think you and I, as Christians, we ought to be extra careful of. Hey, you know what? We've had a revival-type spirit, but we need to be careful. We don't want to assume that that just continues no matter how you behave or what you do, because God can retract his hand of blessing. God can begin to devour. He can begin to consume or eat up those blessings, and he can withhold his patience and his long suffering. But let me show you some things if I could. Number one, God said that he would devour stumbling blocks. That's kind of odd. But he would devour or consume stumbling blocks. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 3, if you have your Bible open there, I'll read it to you. It says, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowl of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. Isn't that something? God said, I will devour the stumbling block. And this is the very first thing on his list here. He's worried about stumbling blocks. Why? Well, you know, folks, it's bad when you cause you to stumble, but it's even worse when you not only cause you to stumble or to get out of God's will, but you take somebody with you. And so God is saying, I don't want you to affect other people negatively. And that makes sense. If there were a revival going on, God would come along and he would say, look, you stay right with me, but if you're not going to stay right with me, don't you tamper with everybody else that ought to stay right with me. And so he talks about the stumbling block. I'll read to you from Romans chapter 14, verse 13. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Teenagers, don't you become a stumbling block to the other teenagers in our youth department. Those of us that are part of this this church, let's be careful that we don't become a stumbling block to somebody else. In other words, live right. Be a good example. Don't let somebody else look at you and your misbehavior so that they could justify the same misbehavior based on the example that you're setting. In your ministry, don't be a stumbling block. Around your friends, don't be a stumbling block. Hey, don't be a stumbling block to the new Christians. The new Christians need to see dedicated, sold out, separated, mature Christians in the church. And so, God said, I will consume or I will devour the stumbling block. So I warn us all, let's not be a stumbling block. You say, why? God wants, he can come, he can judge us for that. God can and will judge us for being a stumbling block. But not only that, God said he would devour the false prophets of the day. In verse number 4 of Zephaniah chapter 1, it says, if you'll look at it, you go halfway down the verse and it says, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal. Then look at the very end. It says, with the priests. He mentions two types of false prophets and he talks about their priests. So the first thing God said was, you Christians, don't you be stumbling blocks. I will judge you. I will devour a part of your prosperity. I'll devour you. I'll consume you if you're a stumbling block. Then he comes along and he warns people that misuse their influence here. And especially he's talking about priests. So now he's virtually talking about false prophets. And he's saying, I will punish that. When we talk about this devour, it will eat up their influence. These are, if you will, in modern day vernacular, these would be preachers that twist the truth and mislead people. These would be in our day and age, the modernists of our day that leave the old time religion and dilute it. And these were the liberals of their day. Now, the first thing God did is he warned within the church. He said, don't you be a stumbling block. Then he said, those preachers out there, I will devour, I will consume, I will punish because of their misrepresentation of the truth. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, what's that? What do you need to be careful of? Folks, let me warn you today, there's all sorts of false prophets that will teach you wrong about the Holy Spirit. There's all sorts of false prophets that will teach you wrong about salvation. Let me make it very clear. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Anybody that teaches anything other than salvation by grace is teaching one of the worst heresies that's possible. You say, but they got a lot of other good stuff. Look, if they're wrong about the prominent doctrine of the Bible, which is salvation, they're wrong, bad wrong. I'd run away from that. Job, there, and you know, preachers are supposed to be like physicians. They're supposed to doctor you up and make you better, not make you worse. Job uses these words in Job 13:4. He mentions physicians of no value. I happen to believe there are preachers out there that are preachers virtually of no value, because if they aren't sticking with the pure doctrines of the Bible, they're not helping you, they're hurting you. But God said, I'll judge that. I will judge that. And folks, don't get all confused about it. You say, but pastor, I look at some of those churches and they're prospering. Their parking lots are full. And you know, and they're having their rock and roll bands, and they're teaching just this, that, and the other, and just making everybody happy all the time. And they do that. And look at their buildings and look at their prosperity. God said, I will devour that. I will devour that. And you may think, there's some, you see a certain amount of prosperity, but wait a minute, folks. Prosperity is not what you and I judge it to be. It's what God judges it to be. And God is saying those people are coming up short. They're not prospering like you might think. So God said, be careful now. If you're not careful, I can devour you. I can devour my blessing in your life because you become a stumbling block. He say, I can devour the false prophets. Then he said this in verse number 5, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Now, here, God said he'll devour, and what I think he's talking about here, it talks about the host of heaven on the housetops. These are stargazers. He is saying, I will devour, and really, this is probably in reference to things like astrologers. People, if you will, people that worship the created more than the Creator. These are people that go on their housetop and they look at nature. And hey, you know, folks, nature's not mentioned in the Bible. You do know who Mother Nature is, don't you? It's God. All over the county, people are saying, whoa, look what Mother Nature's doing. And I'll throw in, you mean God. You mean God. And that startles them a little bit. So you all understand there is not a Mother Nature. That's not a scriptural thing. And I'm not trying to be mean to you. If you use that terminology, it's okay for you to be wrong if you want to be. But what I'm telling you is, no, hey, let's not let Mother Nature take the place of the God of the universe. The storm that just came through was allowed by God. And you say, well, Mother Nature sure was good to us. Mother Nature does not exist. Mother Nature just stole glory from the God that was merciful during the storm. But it's talking about, he said, I will devour those that worship the created more than the Creator. Do you know, folks, there are people out there, I call them tree huggers. The trees are more important to them than babies. They are throwing a fit about cutting down trees, but they never say anything about abortions. Now, I've got a problem with that. Isn't there something wrong with that? And God is saying, I can devour that kind of nonsense. I will not bless that kind of nonsense. And probably, he goes on, and you know, that same group of people, they're the save the whales. They want to save the whales. And then look at the other things that they'll let happen in our society. You know, any society that will approve the aborting of little ones eventually will approve the getting rid of the old ones too. If you're not careful, you'll just begin in society to think you're God and you can choose who will live and who will not. If they get old enough, they're of no use to society, we'll just toss them aside. And that's what they must have done when they chose to abort. And so, and I think probably God is in reference, really and honestly here, to those that use the stars to get their guidance. Now, if you want to use a star to get your guidance in life, you ought to use the bright morning star, which is Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm a Leo or I'm a Taurus. Is that a car or is that a... You say I'm an Aquarius or whatever all those things are, folks. Just so you all know, that's a bunch of tomfoolery. You're not going to get guidance from the stars like that. And the main star you ought to sing about is Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. But I'm just here to tell you that that kind of stuff. You know that there's a lot of that out there today. And God said I'm not for that. I'm not in approve of that. So watch out, watch out, watch out for tarot cards and palm readers and fortune tellers. And the psychics and witchcraft and that sort of thing has become prominent. It's all over the television. Harry Potter really made it popular among young people today. But I've got news for you, folks. God's not for all that sort of stuff. People that want guidance need to get it from the Word of God. And God said, He said, I will devour that sort of stuff. He said, I'll devour stumbling blocks. I'll devour the false prophets that spread false doctrine. I'll devour those that worship the created above the Creator. Then God said that He would, and I don't know any other way to put this, the way I understand the scripture, He's basically, with what I'm about to read, he will devour two-faced hypocrites. Look at verse number 5 if you're right there. He said, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malchem, the Lord, and a false god. They're serving both. And they're saying both are fine. These are two-faced religious people. They're hypocrites. They're saying, well, I'm for the Lord God, Jehovah God. But wait a minute, I'm for this other false god too. In other words, they just love all gods. You see the 18-wheeler that's being pulled up the road that says, go to the church of your choice. You're not supposed to go to the church of your choice. You go to the church of God's choice. We love everything. We love God. We love the devil. Good God, good devil. That's these kind of people. You ever heard that old song? Everything is beautiful in its own way. Folks, so you know, y'all like that, don't you? Did you know that? Thank you, Bryson. Did you know that everything is not beautiful in its own way? It is not. It is not at all. There is a right and there is a wrong and there is a true God and the others are the false gods. And folks, just so you know, we're getting sold up the river on this thing. It's all about whatever God, and the truth of the matter is it's Jehovah God that we're supposed to serve, and it is the Jehovah God that made America great, and America came, hey, the pilgrims came here to worship and serve Jehovah God. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. These are people that it's okay if you love God. It's okay if you love a false god. Just pick a god and love a god, and that's all okay. That's false god worship. And that's not okay. These are people that are comfortable at church, and then they're also comfortable going to the casinos and the nightclubs because everything's fine. Everything's fine. They're standing for nothing while they're standing for everything. These are your politicians. They'll say anything. If they're with the religious crowd, they love Jesus. If they're with the partying crowd, they're all for partying because they'll do anything and they'll represent anything. And they're virtually two-faced. They're hypocrites. This is your Hollywood religion crowd. You know, they talk about at the right time, they give God credit for their success, and God is so good. And while they're out sleeping around and acting like a bunch of animals all at the same time, that's the Hollywood religion that claims religion as a part of their image, but then claim drugs and the alcohol and everything else as a part of their reputation. Just whoever they're with is who they're going to acclimate to at the moment. And I think God is saying to us, and He puts it, they swear by two totally different things at the same time. That's what you see in verse 5. And God said, I'm going to devour that. I'm not for that. I'm against that. Let me show you another. In verse number 6, God said He would devour the indifferent. The indifferent. In Zephaniah 1:6 it says, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Now, I want you to understand, these are some that had been with the Lord, but now they've turned back. Now you're back to God's people. And so now, the word I would use to describe what he's saying here, it's Christians that are indifferent. It's church members that have no fire, they have no conviction. These are, notice how he puts it. They've turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. In other words, they're just kind of coasting in everything that they do. They have no determination. They have no spiritual goals. They have no tears for the lost. They have no passion for souls. They don't have a prayer life. They have no hatred for the worldliness of this world. They're lukewarm and loving it. Just fine in being lukewarm. They're lethargic. There's a lethargy. You know what? They're bored with their Christianity. And can I tell you something? God's not boring. The problem is not God. The problem is the person of God that has become bored with God and God's blessing. They're saved, but their attitude is not one of service toward God. You know, folks, if this had been a normal Sunday, I could say this, and I realize that throughout the Carolinas, we've gone through a very difficult 24-hour period weather-wise, but had I been preaching this sermon and it been a normal day, I could have said this to you. There are all sorts of people that would have called themselves born-again Christians that didn't go to church today because they were at the shopping mall. That's the lethargy. That's the, they just kind of really don't care. We could have said today, there were all sorts of people that went to the beach instead of went to church. But if you'd gone down to the beach and you checked on a bunch of them, they would have said, yeah, I'm a Baptist. And yeah, I love the Lord. And yeah, I'm saved. But on Sunday, they went to the beach instead of coming to church. Are you indifferent about the things of the Lord? God warns if you get indifferent enough, if you don't seek Him, if you don't inquire about His will, He said, I have the potential. I can devour. I can begin to devour the blessing that I would have given you. There are those that have no interest in night church, those that have no interest in soul winning church, those that have no interest in being involved in trying to reach people. Folks, whatever you do, don't get bored with God. Don't get bored with church. Don't become spiritually stagnant in life. Are you spiritually in neutral? And this is not necessarily somebody that is in reverse, but they're in neutral. They're just kind of floating there. Folks, we need to go forward. Onward, Christian soldiers. We've got to go forward. We've got to keep moving forward. You know what's amazing about this? God was talking about the false prophets that teach false doctrine of salvation. He said, I'll devour that. And then God was talking about those that love the created more than the creator. And we go into witchcraft and astrology. And you say, that's bad. I know. But now God's talking about the Christians that are indifferent. And they're listed in the very same chapter. And he's talking about consuming and devouring. Which means you and I, he may not consume us for the very same sin that he would consume the lost or those that are away from God. Now he's saying, you better watch out, Christian. You better not get bored with your Christianity. You better not become spiritually stagnant because God said, I'll punish that, I'll consume that, I'll devour that. I'm going to give you one more if I could. There's many of them in the first chapter here. Verse number 9, it says, in the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's house with violence and deceit. Now, he's talking about hurting people and lying to people. So God said, I'll devour those that hurt others. I'll devour people that are practice violence toward people. I'll devour people that practice lies and deceit toward people. People that will, you know, there are some people who do anything to get ahead. Now, folks, you may say to yourself, preacher, it just doesn't seem right. Somebody can be a drug dealer, and they can have all sorts of money and have all sorts of things. Well, just so you know, they may think they're doing well, but God makes it very clear He will devour. He will devour. And you look at somebody that owns a bar and they're selling booze. They're getting people drunk. and they're hurting people. They're destroying families and destroying people's bodies. You might say, they're making a lot of money. They may make a lot of money today, but God will devour eventually. God will devour. They won't, they're not doing as well as what it may seem. And always remember this, God always pays, but He doesn't necessarily always pay on Friday. They will get theirs. I think this, I think those that take advantage of the poor, God's not for that. I'm glad you heard on the news, if you listened to it much, they were a bit concerned about people that would take advantage of the hurricane coming through. They call it price gouging. In other words, they jack those prices up high because they know you have to have the product that they have. And what is that? That's somebody that's taking advantage of somebody else that's hurting. Folks, it's still the Christian thing to do to be gracious and kind toward people, being fair and just. And there's nothing wrong with having a fair price on something. I had a boat. When I went to sell my boat, I didn't know anything about a boat. When I went to sell my boat, the man that came, I'd set a price on my boat. The man that came, he knew about boats. It was very obvious to me he knew about boats. He asked, he probably asked 10 questions. I had no idea the answer. I kept saying, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And he said this to me. He said, Pastor, he said, you seem like an honest man. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think your boat is worth. And I said, you tell me. And he told me. And it was probably about 15% less than what I was asking for it. And he said, okay, what's your counter? And I said, counter? Why would I counter? Were you honest with me when you told me what it was worth? He said, I think so. I said, then I'll sell it to you for what you just told me that you buy it for. I said, I'm not going to cheat you. Are you out to cheat me? He said, no, sir. He said, that's what I truly believe it's worth. And so I sold it to him at the price that he said it was worth. You know what? He was probably pretty close. But you know, folks, there's nothing wrong in the world with you and I being fair with people. I would be very, very careful. The Christians aren't the ones that are supposed to be taking advantage of people and lying to people and deceiving people. Let's let that go to the heathen. Let's let that go to all the people out there that are misrepresenting the truth. And so, hey, don't ever be out to hurt someone on purpose. And again, there's nothing wrong in the world when you talk with people, if you haggle prices and things like that. But just remember this. Don't ever lie to someone. Don't ever cheat someone. That's going to come back on your name. And that's going to come back on you. And eventually, if Galatians 6:7 is true, it's going to get you, because Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, if you go take advantage of someone and you hurt someone, it's going to come back to you. And maybe that's one of God's principles, or that's one of God's ways of devouring. And he takes from us when we unjustly take from somebody else. But what happened in this passage of Scripture in Zephaniah chapter 1, they'd had a revival. And God was just reminding them, you had seen my blessing and you've seen a lot of wonderful things, but that's not secured forever. You better behave right and you better do right, because God said, I have the full right and the full potential. I can reach into those blessings and I can devour what you may think you're going to get to enjoy. So to all of us, let's never take the blessings of God let's never take them for granted. We've watched God do some wonderful things. I think we ought to just keep on praising Him about it. And we've felt like there's a certain way you ought to live to merit those blessings. I would say we ought to keep living that way. And if there ought to be any change, we ought to become cleaner, not less clean, because our God is a God of love. But He also is a God that warns He could devour. When I seen the word consume, and I research it, it virtually is equal to the word devour. I watched that piranha devour things. And I think if we get far enough away from God, and if we do enough wrong in our life, He can just eat up the blessings in our life. Let's be careful not to let it happen to us. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to the Savior. As a Christian, let's be careful. Oh, indeed, we believe in the love of God, and we should, and we believe in the mercy of God, and His long-suffering, and His patience, and His goodness, and His kindness, and all of that is true. But folks, never lose track of the fact He is still a God of wrath, and He is still a God of judgment, and He can do those things perfectly. God still judges, and God still punishes. Let's not bring that upon us. And you say, well, I've been living in sin, and I'm guilty of some of the things, and even more than what you've talked about, and God hadn't punished me yet. Maybe God was waiting for you to hear this sermon to bring a warning to you. Maybe this sermon was supposed to push the reset button in your life to where you'd say, you know what, there's some things I better just get straightened out. I've been messed up long enough. I need to get these things straightened out and get the blessing of God back on my life. Who would say, preacher, tonight God has spoken to my heart. There's no doubt. In this sermon, there's something that God has challenged me about. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, lots of hands up. You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at this altar, don't be shy. You come and use it. The pianist is going to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you need to come and say, Lord, there's some things I'm slipping on. I'm maybe just a little lethargic, maybe a little uninterested. Hey, don't be a stumbling block. Is there somebody in this church that is a poorer Christian because they've spent time with you? They're going backwards instead of forwards, and they're justifying it based on your behavior. Now, they're going to give answer to God for what they've chosen to do, but God said, I'll devour the stumbling block. Said, I'll devour those false prophets. I'll devour those that worship the created more than the creator. I'll devour those that are two-faced. They just go along with everything. Love God, love the devil. He said, I'll devour. I'll devour those that are indifferent. He said, not sought the Lord nor inquired for Him. Zephaniah 1:6, no conviction, no determination. And those that hurt others, that take advantage of others, that are unfair to others. He said, I'll devour that. I'll eat that up. This will be the last time through the song. In a moment we'll pray and we'll be on our way. God bless you, folks.